Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we are live again tonight. Last week, of course, we had a repeat of our Christmas Eve service. We replayed that New Year's Eve, and we're live tonight back in the studio, and our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, about the program. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there. If you're not in an area where you hear both hours on Sunday night, we're actually on from 10 o'clock until midnight. And some people only hear the 10 o'clock hour. Some people only hear the 11 o'clock hour. But those are available at livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, we have available the Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon at our home station here, AM 1220 The Word in northeastern Ohio, here in Independence, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. And we have a half-hour every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and you can listen to those programs as well at livewithpastoral.com. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to say Happy New Year to everybody, of course, that's listening, and those who are just joining us tonight, Happy New Year to you as well. And as I said before, I hope this year will be better than last year, and it seems like every year I say, I don't see how the year can be any worse than the last year. And for the last several years, at the end of the year, I've been saying, well, I say that, and then it turns out to be worse. I'm kind of afraid to say that. But it's already getting off to a walloping start here. And we'll touch on some of those things here as well. Here in Ohio, I just wanted to mention, because this has become a national story, and I know I'm here in Ohio and we talk about things happening here, but some of what's happening here is a bellwether for the rest of the nation, and other states are looking at similar sorts of legislation and dealing with similar issues. But here in Ohio, made national news when just over a week ago, Governor DeWine here in Ohio vetoed the Ohio House Bill 68, the Ohio SAFE Act. Now, this is an act that has been deliberated in one form or another for over 3 years in the Ohio legislature. Over 3 years. This is not something that we arrived at just overnight without much thought or consideration. People on all sides of the issue weighing in, questions being asked, research being done and shared and all that. And essentially the SAFE Act is to protect Ohio's children from sexual surgical mutilation, by being forced into the transgender pipeline, forced to take puberty blocking drugs, hormone therapy, and all that, and then even become subject to sexual or to surgical mutilation, I should say, removing healthy body parts just because the child is mentally convinced that they're the wrong gender. The body is still normal and healthy, and there's a related phenomena. We've mentioned it before, body integrity disorder or body integrity identity disorder, where somebody says, for instance, I don't think that I should have this leg. Doctor, would you remove my healthy leg because I don't view myself as a two-legged person. I view myself as a one-legged or even a no-leg person. And so, doctor, I want you to remove this leg. Well, the doctor looks at that and says there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly healthy. We need to figure out what's going on mentally and emotionally as to why you have this delusion. But when it comes to, male or female body parts that are perfectly healthy, and the child is convinced by counselors and doctors and things to say, I don't think this healthy body part belongs to me. I want you to remove it. They say, sure, let's go ahead and remove it. Rather than saying, hey, just like we would if it was body identity integrity or integrity identity disorder, instead of saying, let's look at the emotional issues here. Let's look at your mental issues that's going on here. Why are you suffering from this delusional thinking that this healthy body part doesn't belong to you or should be removed? No, instead, we convince them that a healthy body part needs to be removed. And, of course, Governor DeWine has I'd like to be charitable and say he's bought into or naively been convinced that doing this somehow is a benefit to the children. And he even looked at the cameras on his first press release a week ago Friday and said that he decided to veto this issue because he talked to parents who basically assured him that their children would have killed themselves if they weren't able to get transgender therapies, and he talked to transgendered people who said they would have killed themselves. And so he basically says, I'm doing this to save the children. Now, that is an out-and-out lie. I'd like to say that I believe that he's ignorant of that fact, but in fact, I don't think that's the case. I think he knows that it's a lie. In fact, the fact of the matter is that a child that's moved into the transgender pipeline, getting the puberty blockers and the hormone treatment and moving on to surgery and all that, those children are 19 times more likely to commit suicide than a child that just receives counseling and doesn't get pushed into the transgender pipeline. And to say that you're saving lives by vetoing a bill that protects children from being pushed into the transgender pipeline is an outright lie. And I said this on another program with somebody recently. I said, if he's ignorant of this and just doesn't know, that would be one thing. But if he's knowledgeable of this and he's flat out lying, that's another thing. But I said, in actuality, which one's really worse? Having a governor that's so ignorant that he does dangerous things, or having a governor that's just willing to do dangerous things to satisfy an agenda? Well, both cases, they're doing dangerous things, things that harm and threaten our children. And this is happening around the country. And social media and all that is really trying to press the issue and make you sound like you're some kind of deranged Neanderthal if you think that a person born with an XY chromosome is a male and the person born with a XX chromosome complement is a female. Well, hey, I have a biology degree, so I can weigh in on this. I say that not to be braggadocious, but because one of our Supreme Court justices, Ketanji Brown, said she couldn't comment what a woman was because she's not a biologist. Well, hey, I guess since I was a biologist, I can comment on what a woman is or what a man is. And biologically speaking, if you've got an XX chromosome complement, you are a woman. If you have an XY chromosome, you are a man. And any kind of transgender therapies, hormone treatment, puberty blockers, surgical sexual mutilation of that nature, what you're simply doing is trying to force the body to be something that it is not in order to conform it to a mental illness. And yes, quite frank, it is a mental illness, and that's why it's called gender dysphoria. It is a mental illness, and a doctor that pushes people in that direction, there's a problem there. Why would they go against the science? Why would they go against biology? Why would they do something that's going to endanger the lives of children and push them into something that is going to be a lifetime commitment? You don't simply go through the puberty blockers and the hormone treatment and the surgical procedures, and now you once were Johnny and now you're Sally, or vice versa. No, you don't. As I said, the genetic complement XX or XY has not changed. The body wants to return to what it is normally as an XX female or XY male. And so it's a constant lifetime commitment of medical treatments, of drugs, of hormones, and even surgeries for a lifetime in order to continue to try to keep the body forced into an abnormal state just to satisfy somebody's mental illness. Now, if that's not mental dysphoria, I don't know what is. And it's kind of interesting. Our governor came out here, Governor DeWine, just this last Friday with another press conference, again justifying his veto of House Bill 68 here in Ohio. And in the course of that, he said that he was going to block surgical procedures on minors. Well, that's all well and good, but what happens when he leaves office and his successor comes in and decides not to block it? Well, you know, we had a bill that the governor could have been involved in the process and find out stuff rather than just spend 10 days researching and coming to a crash course that he had to veto it. He's supposed to be a pro-life Republican conservative governor. He's shown himself to be anything but that. And so pray for him. Pray for Ohio and other states that are struggling with this. Other thing I was going to point out, too, is that coincidentally, we found out that several of the main children's hospitals here in Ohio gave liberally to his finances, his financial, fundraisers and things like that. And the Daily Wire posted some information showing videos, training videos of those same hospitals, training their doctors on how to overcome objections that parents may make in regards to children's that they're trying to push into the trans pipeline, how to overcome parental objections and how to tell them things that really aren't true in order to get them into the pipeline. Because once they're in the pipeline, they're a lifetime commitment, a lifetime customer. Even when you detransition, you still are faced with medical treatments because of the damage that's been done to the body. Well, that's something to pray about. Other aspect of the Ohio SAFE Act that's being discussed in other states, and it's instrumental too, and the governor did not address this. Oh, let me just mention one thing too before moving on. We had the governor say that these surgical procedures, nobody really does that in Ohio on minors. That's not really happening. If it does, it's very rare, very uncommon. I am sorry, but the people who researched this and passed the bill showed that it's happening much more often than what our governor wants to admit. And he should have been, he could have here in Ohio, he had three options. One option was to sign the bill when it was put on his desk, which would have been great. The other option would have been to veto it, which he could have done immediately, but he had 10 days in which to make a decision, and he did it on the 10th day. He did it the last minute. The third option was just to not veto it but not sign it either, and in Ohio it would have become law just by allowing it to come through the 10-day period. He could have done that and essentially objected but let it pass into law. But apparently he's being pressured by outside interests and by others who are trying to push Ohio to become a more progressive state. And they have found a home in Governor DeRino here in Ohio. But at any rate, pray for Ohio, pray for the governor here, and pray for people in other states that are facing these things. As I started to say, too, the SAFE Act also would have prevented men from pretending to be girls in junior high and high school to play on women's sports teams and college, which is happening right now. That's a whole other area. I might get into that a little bit more at a later time, but I do have a caller calling in that I want to get to. Do pray about this. This is something that is facing people across the nation. The governor said it affects very few people. No, it's affecting a lot. It's affecting a lot of people. And so, at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Cheryl calling in tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you. Yes, I'm glad to be here with you.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Yes, I've been enjoying the conversation, and actually what I have to say can weave right into it with the specifics that you've just been talking about, and that is, We have been discussing about, what Satan targets or what he's decided to attack. And we had a good discussion about this morning. And I think it was really wonderfully beneficial because it helps people zero in right away about an attack that's coming. And it's sort of like the C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters and then the movie Nefarious. And it's the same kind of thing, having it right in the beginning of your eye, like, aha, I can see this coming. And what we said today, I didn't know, maybe you want to expound on this more because it was so rich, and that he attacks God's greatest creation, which is us, and God, he attacks God's pleasure because God created us for his pleasure. And then I'm thinking also he attacks because then he wants to thwart God's purpose in our lives by having the Holy Spirit live with him. And just even using your same examples, which I think this is really critical for people to hear tonight since these votes are coming up, this can lead right into it. And so I guess I'm just, I think this is really good for us to have right in the front of our mind when we see something that just doesn't sound right, doesn't sound like consistent with the Bible. We can, these things anyway, help me to identify more quickly what it is that, bothering me or alerting me about an evil attack by Satan. Did you want to say anything more about that, or maybe more clearly than I said it?
Well, I'll try and touch on a couple of things there. And you mentioned about a vote coming up. That reminded me, Ohio is, they have a session scheduled at the State House in Columbus, where the Ohio legislature, House and the Senate, are going to hopefully vote to overturn Governor DeWine's veto this coming Wednesday, the 10th, January 10th. So do pray, if you're in Ohio, contact your state representative, contact your state senator, and urge them to vote to overturn the governor's veto. If you're outside of Ohio, certainly pray for us here in Ohio. I'm hoping to be down at the State House myself on Wednesday for that, with some other people, trying to encourage people to vote to overturn the governor's veto, vote to protect and save children here in Ohio. That's the idea there. But getting back to this idea, though, and you had brought it up, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And that touches on some of what you said. We are created for God's glory, for his pleasure. God does not exist to serve us and to please us and to glorify us. We exist to please him, to glorify him. He created us. The two great philosophical questions, where did I come from and why am I here, are answered in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, in the last part of that verse. "For thou hast created all things." That's where we came from. God created us. "And for thy pleasure they are and were created." That's why we are here. That's where we came from and why we're here. Right there, very succinct, very, very crisp and clear. We came from God, and we're here to please Him. That's it right there. And so what does the devil do then? He wants to destroy that which God created for His pleasure. God created us in His image so that He could converse with us and have a relationship with us and enjoy being with us. He didn't need us, but He desired some, He desired us so that He can converse with us and it's just enjoy our company. You know, I used an example talking about this at church this morning. I said, what if I was to make a nice sandwich? You know, one of the things I like at holidays is, you know, whether it's Thanksgiving, you have all the turkey, or Christmas, we usually have a ham. I like the leftover food, and I love to take a big old piece of leftover ham and put it on some rye bread with caraway seeds, you know, the kind of rye with the seeds in it, and put some mayo or something like that on there, and then a big piece of Swiss cheese on top of that, and maybe some lettuce, maybe whatever you want to put on there, and you make a nice sandwich. You created that sandwich. Why? I put it all together so that I can enjoy it. And then let's say that somebody comes up and throws some dirt on it. Am I going to enjoy the sandwich now? No. I'm going to be disappointed because something that I made for my enjoyment, I can no longer enjoy. Now, if somebody did that, it wouldn't be a very friendly gesture, would it? And so God created us in His own image for His glory, that He can enjoy our company, that we could bring enjoyment to Him. And the devil convinced, you know, Adam to disobey God. And so that was the first step. He then convinced Cain to kill his brother Abel. That's another example. And then, you know, you look in the Bible at the time of Lot, you know, with the sexual immorality and the homosexuality and all of that, and we see other ways that the devil attacks the image of God, because the Bible says we're created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says God created man in His own image, Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And so we're created in His image to bring glory to Him. So here's what happens in Genesis chapter number 9, when they got off from the ark after the great flood, God made a statement authorizing capital punishment, and He says in verse number 5 and 6, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And here's why: "For in the image of God made He man." When the devil can instigate somebody to murder somebody, or even to take their own life, that's self-murder, suicide. If the devil can convince somebody to murder somebody or take their own life, what has he just done? He has just struck, and it's just like smashing something that somebody made. Somebody took a pottery class and they made a nice vase, and you grab it and you smash it. Well, you smash something they made for their enjoyment. And when the devil can cause somebody to be killed or commit suicide, he's striking at the image of God. A little earlier before the flood, and one of the reasons for the flood was the corruption of humanity when the sons of God and the daughters of men were producing giants in the land and all that. And there was an effort to, to destroy what it meant to be human, to destroy the human genome, and kind of like transhumanism today and some other things that are going on. Again, an attack on the image of God, destroying that which God created. Then abortion today. It's a form of murder. These innocent unborn children that were created in the image of God, the devil convinces people to murder, to destroy them. And there again is an attack on the image of God. And then when somebody is born as a man with an XY chromosome complement, or as a woman with an XY, or I'm sorry, an XX for the woman and an XY chromosome complement for the man, and they become convinced that they're not really what they were born to be, and they need to mutilate the body and either chemically and or surgically, they're denying what God created them to be. And again, that's an attack on the image of God. We could even go to an extent, you know, there's some people who get some absolutely horrendous body modifications. You know, they split their tongue in two, they tattoo their eyeballs, and they insert little things under the skin on their forehead to make it look like they got horns coming out of their head, and all kinds of things like that. But you know what's happening there again? Attacking the image of God, isn't it? And in the case of homosexual relationships, again, you have an attack on not just the image of God, because God created us male and female, but we also have an attack on the picture of Christ in the church, where the Bible talks about the relationship between the husband and the wife is a picture reflecting the mystery of Christ and the church. And we see that, you know, in the Bible. And I'm just going to try to get over here real quick. But as I'm talking here in Ephesians chapter number 5, where he says this in verse 32, talking about the husband and wife, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And that's why, and I know there's exceptions, but when you look at same-sex relationships, whether it's two women or two men, generally one is feminine and one is masculine in the relationship, which I've always found to be rather odd, because if a man is only attracted to men, wouldn't they both want to be masculine? And if why would he be attracted to a feminine man if he's not attracted to women? If two women are only attracted to women, wouldn't they both be feminine? I mean, if they're not attracted to the masculine, why was one masculine? Because it's a mockery attacking the image of God. So, Cheryl, you really brought up a good point there. When we look at this, the devil is doing everything he can to keep us from glorifying God and bringing pleasure to him. He wants to enjoy us. He created us for his enjoyment. And when the devil attacks the image of God, God can get no enjoyment, no pleasure in that, can he? So,
you know, and that's just why we were talking here. That was so excellent. Kind of an outgrowth of, you know, the things that will alert us is that we were created to submit to God's control.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that maybe one of the hardest things for people to deal with as far as becoming a Christian is they don't want to give up control.
Right.
You know, if they want to choose their own life and whatever. And that's really just yet another example of, you know, he doesn't need to control you. You're yourself, you know, you can do all this stuff. It's just, it really goes on with so many examples, but I just love it because it helps you think, aha, now what is it that he's attacking?
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for all that explanation. I think that was great.
Well, I appreciate that, Cheryl, and thank you for calling us tonight. I know we're coming up on a break here, but again, Happy New Year to you.
Yes, Happy New Year to you too, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that call tonight. And, of course, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got just a couple of minutes before we come up on the break here, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. After the break, I want to talk about something maybe kind of stem off from looking what happened here in Ohio and some other things that are happening nationwide in the vilification of Christians, the vilification of those that support Donald Trump, and whether or not you support Donald Trump, but if you support the values that he stood for, you know, the what they call the MAGA values, to make America great again. If you stand for Christian liberties and bringing America back to its godly heritage, you know, we are being vilified across the nation today. We're being pointed out as the greatest enemies. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. But in the meanwhile, I hope you'll stick with us here tonight and continue to pray for us because, you know, we do this program. I enjoy doing this, but it takes some time. It takes some commitment, and I'm thankful that our church is behind it, that we're able to do the program. But it's challenging sometimes because I was thinking about this as I was working on an article for our church newsletter, and sometimes when talking about certain subjects and all, it's just like the devil doesn't want you to talk about it, and you just feel like you're just under the gun, under the thumb, like somebody's breathing down your neck. And that's why Paul said, pray for us, that we can speak boldly as we ought to. And I hope you'll pray for us here this year as we continue with Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us, and if you want to know more about us, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and a variety of things there, some articles that I've written, as well as past programs, and a number of other things, all at livewithpastoral.com. I want to stem off from some things I was talking about in the last half hour. We were talking with Cheryl there about how the devil wants to destroy and attack the image of God. And one of the ways that he does that as well, of course, is to try and stir up unrest and get us fussing and fighting with each other. I remember from my time in the Air Force looking at what was happening. I was stationed in England during the 1980s, and we were kind of watching what was going on throughout Europe and the Mediterranean region in particular, terrorism and things like that. And it never ceased to amaze me how the KGB, of course, that was from the old Soviet Union days, and now lives on, of course, in Russian FSB and some other organizations. But they would fund groups to go after each other, basically. And I see that happening today, trying to sow unrest and discord. And part of that, of course, is because the mystery of iniquity, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, is already working in the world. And there's a lot of people who think, well, it's this group or that group, but the reality is all the groups are being coordinated, not necessarily through one human agency, but through the devil himself, who is trying to destroy. Our caller Cheryl in the last half hour brought this out. Why does the devil want to, destroy the image of God? And one of it is not only to keep God from enjoying his creation, but also to prevent God. The devil's trying to prevent God from accomplishing what he said that he's going to do. And one of those is by advancing the Antichrist and bringing him to power and a world order that will develop when God removes the believers out of the world, and a seven-year period known as the tribulation, and a global government. The seeds for that are being sown already. You see groups like the World Economic Forum coming together and all of these things. And so in order to advance the devil's cause, and like I said, not all these people realize that they are being manipulated by Satan himself in one way or another, directly or indirectly. They're all working together. It's all coordinated in that respect. It's not any one group here of people. It is the master conspirator behind the scenes, which is Satan himself, the author of the mystery of iniquity. And he is working in the world to bring these things together. And one of the things that opposes the mystery of iniquity that's working is the hindrance of the Holy Spirit that is preventing the devil from bringing his plans to fruition. And one of the ways that he does is by working through his people, through believers. We're called to be salt and light in the world. Salt and light makes a difference in the world. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to make a difference. And we push back the darkness, and we retard the spoilage of the society and the world around us. And God works through us through his Spirit, restraining and hemming in the mystery of iniquity. So it's no wonder that the believers are being targeted as being the enemies of God's people. Now, here this year, it's 2024, we're in the run-up for the presidential election in November, less than a year away. Primaries are starting. Ohio's got its primaries coming up in March, just 2 months away now. Now, coming quickly, and other states, the Iowa caucuses and different things coming up, and candidates are out there, and Joe Biden thinks that he needs to be reelected. So what is he running on? Is he running on his great economic record? I wish I could say I made this up. What I really wish, though, is I could remember who I heard say it. But somebody defending the Biden economic platform said, there's no inflation. You're thinking, wait a minute. I was just at the store yesterday. Things are costing a lot more than they did just not a year ago, but even 6 months ago or a month ago. Well, no, there's no inflation. It's just that prices are higher. That's what they said. This guy said this. He's supposed to be an economic commentator of some sort. I wish I could remember who he was. If I had the clip, I would play it. But he said, there's no inflation. It's just that prices are higher. Wow. Naive, I guess. I thought that's what inflation was, when the prices are higher. But, it's Christians, though, that are really causing a problem, and it's people who are supporting Donald Trump that are causing the problem. And so rather than run on his achievements, we're seeing a double down of these third world dictatorial tactics of not just saying your opponent is wrong, but vilifying them, trying to arrest them, trying to send them to jail, and trying to incite violence against them. Here's a clip from Joe Biden's latest, and I guess it's his first presidential reelection campaign. It was just released last week. Let's take a listen to this.
There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us are being asked right now, what will we do to maintain our democracy? History's watching. The world is watching. And most important, our children and grandchildren will hold us responsible.
Our democracy, it's under threat. Well, in first place, you're never going to see the word democracy in the Declaration of Independence or in the Constitution of the United States, not in the main body of it or in the amendments. But here's something that you do see in Article 4 and Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. Now, that doesn't mean the Republican Party versus the Democrat Party. That means a representational form of government and not a democracy. The founding fathers were against the democracy, but it's hard to convince people today, even good people that should know better, use the term, well, our democracy. Well, we are a constitutional republic, and I, for one, am thankful. We're going to touch on that a little bit more in a few moments with another clip. But I got a couple clips. What Biden is doing, rather than citing his accomplishments, he's trying to vilify those that oppose him. And there's plenty to oppose him, whether it's on the economic issues or on the social issues, which certainly as Christians, we can certainly oppose him on his abortion on demand, his opening up the White House grounds to homosexual and transgenders like he did last summer, and different things that he has done, flying the rainbow flag over the White House and bathing the White House in a rainbow of colors, the movement against Israel in many respects, pretending to be the ally to Israel on the one hand, while behind the scenes trying to force Israel to live with the monsters in Hamas and surrounding them that are sworn to destroy them, and so he's vilifying those that oppose him, and this sounds a lot like what he did back last September. If you remember, in Philadelphia, remember Philadelphia, it means the city of brotherly love. And he had it looked like out of the Twilight Zone or out of some Cold War thriller or something from the Nazi era in Germany, this blood red and black background with the shadowy Marines flanking him as he vilified people like you and I. He said that America was at what he called an inflection point. In other words, a time where we need to make a decision. And this is what he said.
I believe America is at an inflection point. One of those moments that determine the shape of everything that's to come after. And now, America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
You know, the sad thing is that he is the one that is sowing division and darkness and turning us into a nation of fear. And they're trying to make us, those that stand for freedom and stand for the Constitution and the Republican form of government that the Constitution promises, he's causing us the threat. Listen to what he further said in his speech last September.
Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. We're all called by duty and conscience to confront extremists who put their own pursuit of power above all else. Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans, we must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
You know, I strung several things together there, taken from that press conference back in September. And just to give you a flavor, this is what's been going on. And we're seeing a doubling down on that with Biden's recently released campaign ad. And we've seen this reflected in the media, in the left-stream media out there, where they're more openly vilifying Christians. These are the things that we've seen where the Department of Justice is targeting Christians and churches and pro-life people in this country and causing us to be the threat against our democracy, which, of course, we are not, and we are a republic. And they want us to be a democracy because if you're a democracy, you can get the sort of thing that we had happen here in Ohio in November, where you can circumvent the opportunity to debate and ask questions for and against and present evidence for and against on an issue, and instead you just basically run a beauty contest. Whoever can get the best appearing commercial out there, whether it's true or not, no questions asked, and spend the most money, and they passed abortion on demand into the Ohio Constitution last November, overturning all of our pro-life laws here in the state. And no, it was a lot of out-of-state money just came in. They basically conducted a beauty pageant. They made their commercials look better than our side could. They had the money and they had the media behind them, and they vilified people like us. And that's what we see happening. It's not just the MAGAs. They're doubling down on Christians even. And with the recent advancement of Representative Mike Johnson to become the Speaker of the House, you would think that America has just taken a step back into the Dark Ages in some sense. James Carville, whom nobody can't convince me that he was not the picture that they had in mind when they made Gollum for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But James Carville, on with Bill Maher back on December 2nd, had this to say about Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House, and Christians here in this country.
Mike Johnson and what he believes is one of the greatest threats we have today to the United States. I know these people.
Well, you're talking about Christian nationalism.
Absolutely. This is a bigger threat than Al Qaeda to this country. Let me tell you something. They have Speaker of the House. They got probably at least two Supreme Court justices, maybe more. Right? Don't kid yourself. And people in the press have no idea who this guy is, how he was formed, what the threat is, and this is a fundamental threat to the United States. It is a fundamental threat. They don't believe in the Constitution. They'll tell you that. Mike Johnson himself says, what is democracy but two wolves and a lamb having lunch? That's what they really, really, really believe.
You know, I've actually used that expression many times. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for supper. You know, and he derides that. But that is a democracy. How is pointing out something factual and truthful somehow a threat to our country? That's why the founding fathers avoided setting up a democracy and avoided using the term democracy to describe our form of government when they gave us the Constitution, because they recognized, just like we saw in Ohio, that somebody comes along that can run a better beauty contest than somebody else, has more money, and less scrutiny, they can get their way. As opposed to the time that we spend, I'll give you an example, House Bill 68 here in Ohio, a good 3+ years was spent on this. Now, that spans two sessions of the Ohio House, because they started it in one session and they realized that they needed to spend more time researching the issue, and they put it off until the current session that we're in, and they continued working on it, and they brought in experts, and they brought in people who had experienced the transgender pipeline. They brought in people who were for it. They brought in people who were against it, and they asked questions, and they researched. And this is in contrast to here in Ohio, where we had the abortion on demand codified into the Ohio Constitution, with basically the result of a few months campaigning and a bunch of slick advertisements that, you know, I think even some of the people on the for the issue one, it was issue one in November, I think people who were for it even admitted that some of the ads were less than truthful, and they pushed this thing through with enough votes to get it into the Constitution with no question, with no research, with no back and forth on it, no debates over the issue, no pros and cons presented. They just presented a good, slick campaign like a beauty pageant, made it look good, and they got it through, and now it's in our state constitution there to cause problems in the future and certainly be a threat to the lives of unborn children. And we see this happening on a regular basis, and people would think, well, you know, you're just being conspiratorial. You're just being overly reactive and jumping to conclusions. There's not a conspiracy to do all these things, to make Christians look bad, to make conservatives look bad, and to destroy this country. That's just conspiratorial nonsense. I was going through some stuff this evening and putting together these clips into a folder so that Kenny could put it together and get it on the radio for us here tonight. And I happened to find one that I had forgotten that I had. If you're familiar with Don Bongino, he made this statement about the rabbit hole just about a year ago, January of last year. And I thought it's just about as good today, dealing with what we're looking at with Biden's campaign and the calling Christians a greater threat than Al-Qaeda and all these things that are happening. I think Bongino's comment about the rabbit hole a year ago rings true today.
Let me ask you a question. How deep does this rabbit hole go? Listen, man, I promise you I'm not distracted. This is intentionally part of the show. It literally says, how deep does this rabbit hole go? Because I don't want to lose this. Folks, I have never, ever, as a man who served government at the NYPD level, the city level, and at the federal level, I have never been more frightened about how corrupt our government is. I said to Guy this morning, I am really starting to believe that every conspiracy theory that's ever been told, that the crazy ones are the people denying it at this point. Because every time I think the government can't get any worse, a story like today pops.
You know, and regardless of what the story was that he was talking about a year ago, we look at some of these things. You could substitute in there a story like today with Biden's re-election campaign commercial. You could talk about a story like today about the hordes of illegal immigrants, and it really, it's an invading army pouring across the southern border of our country, threatening the very nature of our country. All these things are taking place. And again, as I said, this is the outgrowth of a spiritual battle that's taking place in the world around us. And as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he warned us in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And it's not any one group. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Barack Obama. It's not George Soros. It's not Klaus Schwab. It's the devil himself that's the orchestrator and the, in a sense, the guide behind all of these things that are happening in the world around us today. Instead, we need to wake up to the fact that as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. I've used this much in the last year, and as we close out the program, I want to share again in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says in verse number 4, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what caused Ohio Governor DeWine to veto Ohio Safe Act to protect women and children in Ohio. This is what's causing Joe Biden to do the things that he does, Klaus Schwab on the world stage to do the things that he does. It's spiritual wickedness in high places, and we need the armor of God more than ever. And let me drop down a little bit. You can read that. Let me encourage you to read and study Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. But then as he comes down in verse 17, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation." In other words, you need to be saved. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You need to study your Bible. And then he says this in verse 18, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know, I read that, and I would ask that you pray for me. I would ask that you pray for your pastor. If there's other people on the radio or on the internet with podcasts or something that you listen to that are trying to promote the Word of God and try to help Christians to make sense of the craziness in the world today, you need to pray for them, because we are under an attack, and I'm just afraid that in 2024 it's going to get worse than it was last year, because last year was worse than it was the year before. Every year it's getting worse. Pray one for another, and having done all, Paul said, stand. It's a battle. You're in it whether you like it or not. There's nobody that's left on the sidelines in this battle. Well, I want to thank you for listening. Don't give up hope. Put your faith in Christ. Study the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and stand in the battle. Thanks for listening. God bless. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.